The following program is being shortwaved overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service.
C-O-L-G-A-T-E, Colgate presents Bill Stern.
With a Colgate Shave Cream Sports Newsreel.
Bill Stern, the Colgate Shave Cream Man, is on the air. Bill Stern, the Colgate Shave Cream Man, with stories rare. Take his advice and you'll look keen. You'll get a shave that's smooth and clean. You'll be a Colgate brushless man.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bill Stern bringing you the 293rd edition of the Colgate Shave Cream Sports Newsreel. Our guest tonight is the most famous novelist of the year, the author of Forever Amber, Miss Kathleen Windsor. But first, Reel One, Portrait of a Prize Fight. This is the story of two prize fighters. Their real names can't be used. You'll understand why when you hear the story. But for tonight, let's call one of the prize fighters Neil Harper, and let's call the other one Bob Brooks. However, do let me say that both Neil Harper and Bob Brooks were good fighters. Both were hard hitters, and both were unbeaten. Hence, it was only natural that they should want to fight each other. And so, on April the 18th in Houston, Texas, 12 years ago, they did meet. And it was quite a fight, with both Neil Harper and Bob Brooks trying to knock each other out. Neil Harper was winning as the fight went into the fifth round, when suddenly, Bob Brooks let go a terrific left hook. It caught Neil Harper on the side of the head, and the force of that blow blinded Neil Harper, blinded him so badly that the fight had to be stopped. They rushed Neil Harper to the nearest hospital to see what was wrong with his eyes. And there, they found out that the force of that blow had severed a nerve in his eyes and that he'd be permanently blind. At first, Neil Harper was heartbroken. Not only could he never fight again, he could never see again. And Bob Brooks, the fighter who'd done the damage, was horrified at what he'd done. But there was nothing anyone could do now. And so that's the story of how a prize fighter named Neil Harper became blind. Only the story doesn't end there. For even though he was blind, Neil Harper tried to carry on as best he could. In the beginning, he was fairly successful. But gradually, he began to slip. He went from one job to another. He didn't hold any of them. It wasn't only that he was blind. He didn't seem to care much anymore. And so he kept on slipping until finally... finally, he became a pathetic sight as he'd walked down the street, a hobo with a tin cup in one hand begging for nickels and dimes, and on his back it'd be a sign which said, "I am Neil Harper, the former fighter, but now I'm blind. Please help me." That's the way it went for 8 long years, until one day he received a letter which read, "Dear Neil, I followed your case closely. Your blindness has been a terrible handicap. Perhaps I can help you. For inside of 24 hours, I will be dead." You wonder how a dead man can help you? Well, at the bottom of this letter, you'll find money and instructions about claiming my dead body, have my body taken to the general hospital, and providing you get my body there within 24 hours after my death, they can remove certain tissues from my eyes and transplant them to your eyes. Goodbye and good luck. There were definite instructions as to where to find that body, and the doctors agreed that such an operation might be tried, and it was. But the next day, certain eye tissue was removed from the dead body of the man who'd written that letter, and this eye tissue from the dead man was transplanted into Neil Harper's eyes, and 3 weeks later, Neil Harper could see. That's the story of a prize fighter named Neil Harper, who was blinded in a prize fight, but who regained his eyesight when he was given the eyes of a dead man. And that dead man who gave Neil Harper his eyes was Bob Brooks, the very prize fighter who had blinded him. Profile of an eye for an eye. Reel two. Off the ball field, he's known as a screwball, hence the nickname Dizzy for Paul Trout, the ace pitcher of the Detroit Tigers. When it comes to shaving, Dizzy Trout plays no tricks. He's all for Colgate Brushless Shave Cream, he recently wrote me.
"Dear Bill, I don't mind telling you it was the little woman who put me wise to Colgate Shave Cream. She had been listening to your program, and it seems you sold her. Then she sold me. Result, it was the happiest morning of my life when I first used Colgate Brushless Shave Cream. You can tell your listeners from me that Colgate Brushless scores on every count. Speed, comfort, and final results."
And the moral of this story, my fellow shavers, is this. If you want a smooth, fast, comfortable shave, then it's Colgate Brushless Shave Cream for you. You'll like the way this rich, fluffy cream stays on the job, keeps moist and active to the last razor stroke. Just watch those wiry whiskers of yours soften up and fade out fast. Your face comes out feeling refreshed and smooth, and there's nothing gummy or greasy about Colgate Brushless. rinses off your face and your razor in a flash. Well, man, how about making your next shave a champion shave with Colgate Brushless? Now, if you're not completely satisfied, just send the top of the carton to me, Bill Stern, care of Colgate, Zone 2, New Jersey, and I'll see that you get double your money back. Ask for Colgate Brushless Shave Cream in the big 9-ounce economy-sized jar. Reel 3. Colgate's camera close-up of this year's most famous author. This year, a new book became the sensation of the nation. This book was Forever Amber. But this book, Forever Amber, did something else, too. It quickly made its author, Miss Kathleen Windsor, very famous. And here she is in person, the famous author of Forever Amber, Kathleen Windsor.
Good evening, Bill.
Good evening, Kathleen.
You know, Bill, it's funny that I should be on this program.
Well, why do you say that, Kathleen?
Because this is a sports program. And if it hadn't been for sports, I never would have written Forever Amber.
Well, just how do you figure that out?
I'll tell you how. Not so long ago, I was a student at the University of California, when one day I met the captain of the freshman football team.
Go on, Kathleen.
He was a nice-looking boy named Bob Herwig. I liked Bob, and I guess Bob kind of liked me, because we started going together.
So from then on, you saw every football game the University of California played.
That's right. And Bob Herwig was a great player.
That he was. Bob was All-American that year, and he and his California teammates won the Pacific Coast Championship and went on into the Rose Bowl.
Where California beat Alabama.
Correct you are. But let's get back to this story, Kathleen, of you and Bob.
Well, when Bob and I were in our junior year, we were married. And one day, after we were married, he had to write a paper in one of his classes. And I became interested in the research books he brought home.
So?
So that research was on King Charles II of England, and I became so interested in this subject that I decided to write a novel about it. And I did.
So if you hadn't met and married All-American football player Bob Herwig, you wouldn't have become interested in his research, which inspired your book.
Mm-hmm. And that's why, as I said in the beginning, if it hadn't been for sports, I wouldn't have written Forever Amber.
You're right. Thanks so much. Good luck and good night, Kathleen Windsor.
Good night, Bill.
Good night, Kathleen. Reel 4. Profile of Father's Day. The day after tomorrow will be Father's Day, and throughout this nation on Sunday, children will honor their fathers, since Father's Day is almost here. I think it's appropriate tonight if we tell sports stories about some of the famous fathers who have had famous sons. Let's begin with the story of Marty O'Brien. Some 30 years ago, there was a prize fighter who fought under the name of Marty O'Brien. He was a good prize fighter. When a son was born to this Marty O'Brien, he hoped his son would grow up to be a good prize fighter, too. But the son never did. Instead, he became a singer, a great singer. You know that son today as Frank Sinatra. But our story of famous sons of famous fathers has only begun. Do you remember Christy Mathewson? You should. Because Christy Mathewson was probably the greatest pitcher in baseball history. And Christy Mathewson also had a son named Christy Mathewson Jr. Only Christy Jr. wasn't a great baseball player. Instead, he became a flyer, and he flew all over the world. One day, in far-off China, his plane suddenly developed engine trouble. Christy Jr. tried to keep his plane up in the air, but the motor was missing badly. The plane was losing altitude. It began to fall. It was out of control. And then... the plane had crashed in a remote region of China. By the time some Chinese doctors reached the scene, young Christy Mathewson was more dead than alive. However, the Chinese doctors finally got him to a hospital. And there they discovered that the only way they could save his life was by amputating one of his legs. And they did. But for days afterward, the young American was in such great pain that he didn't care whether he died or not. The Chinese doctors knew that he would die unless he could be made to understand that he had to help himself in his recovery. If only there was someone who could plead with the boy. But the Chinese doctors couldn't speak English. In desperation, they sent for an American girl who was visiting nearby. They explained to her that she was the only one who could speak his language. And then they asked her to go in and talk to Christy. She agreed to try. But that day, she sat by his bed as she said,
"Listen to me, Christy. I know you can't understand what these Chinese doctors are saying. That's why I'm here. I'm an American like yourself. I just happen to be here in China. But I know who you are. You're the son of baseball's famous Christy Mathewson. Do you think he wants you to quit now? Tell me you don't care whether you live or not. Well, if you don't care, how about your family? Don't you think they care? Suppose you have lost a leg. Losing a leg isn't the most important thing in life if you...
That American girl in far-off China did what no medicine could do. That American girl made Christy Mathewson Jr. want to get well, and he did get well. Well enough to come back to America and fly again in this war. Well enough to pitch a no-hitter in baseball, even though he has only one leg. And that's the story of Christy Mathewson Jr., son of the immortal baseball pitcher who fought his way back thanks to an American girl who saved his life in far-off China. She just happened to be traveling through China then, but you know her now as a great star, for her name is Paulette Goddard. Christy Mathewson, Frank Sinatra, famous sons, a famous father, stories we've recalled tonight because Father's Day is almost here. But no story of Father's Day would be complete without the legend of how Father's Day began. Not so long ago, there was a boy named Tom Nelson who dearly loved his father, loved him so much that he always set aside one particular day in June of every year on which to honor his father. Soon, this idea spread throughout the town, then the state. Finally, it became nationwide. And so, thanks to Tom Nelson and his love for his own father, Father's Day was born. And Tom Nelson continued to spend this particular day each year with his own father. That is, he did until one year on this day, he and his father went hunting together. And while they were hunting together, Tom's gun went off, and he accidentally killed his own father. Of the son who began Father's Day, and yet strangely enough killed his own father on that very day. Reel 5, Charles F. McCarthy.
Men, have you a shaving combination that's TNT? Yep, TNT, meaning tough and tender. Tough whiskers and a tender skin so that shaving is a sore point with you? Well, forget it, brother. You just haven't tried Colgate Brushless Shave Cream yet. Here's one brushless shave cream that doesn't dry out, but does keep those wiry whiskers soft for your razor to shear off close and clean without snagging or pulling. No after irritation either. And no grease or goo to gum up your razor. You can rinse Colgate Brushless Shave Cream off your blade and your skin in a flash. So do the old face a favor. Treat it to a championship shave tomorrow. Yep, get yourself a jumbo jar of Colgate Brushless Shave Cream, the shave cream of champions, tonight. And now, back to Bill Stern.
Reel 6, Colgate Candid Camera catches the story behind the story. Exclusive, Springfield, Massachusetts. Wrestling fans who demanded their money back recently after a wrestling show in Springfield were dispersed by the police who used tear gas. And that's the 3-0 mark for tonight. Next Friday night, as usual, we'll be back same time, same station, with another edition of the Colgate Shave Cream Sports Newsreel. Our guest next Friday evening will be the singing star of stage and screen, Alan Jones. So be sure and be with us next Friday night at our usual time when we present as our guest the singing star of the screen, Alan Jones. See you then. And until then, I'll be seeing you on the screen in the News of the Day newsreel at your favorite Lowe's or Associated Theaters. Now until this very same time next Friday night, this is Bill Stern for Colgate Shave Cream, wishing you all a good, good night.
Bill Stern, the Colgate Shave Cream Man, is on his way. Bill Stern, the Colgate Shave Cream Man, had lots to say. He told you tales of sports heroes, the inside dope he really knows. So listen in next Friday night.